So, Father, we just thank you for this night to be together and to fellowship. And we just thank you for this tool that you've given us where we can come together and be in one accord. And we just ask you just bless this evening, that you just guide us in what we bring forth. You just give us revelation, just knowledge and wisdom, and just show us how we can edify you tonight and edify each other. We just thank you for that. We just call tonight blessed. We come against any problems in the equipment. We forbid that in the name of Jesus. We command everything to work perfectly, and we forbid the enemy from any distractions and anything that's not of you, Lord. We just thank you for this night. We call it blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to welcome everybody, and I guess we'll just throw it out. Does anybody have anybody they want to pray for? Or anybody need prayer? I'd like to start off, you know, as far as with prayer.
Hey, Tim, it's Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
I think I would like some prayer for myself. I have been distracted in my thoughts. When I listen to a Bible study or read something, I have to reread it and reread it. And my mind, I have a lot of things weighing on my mind with things around here at home. And when I sit down to study, it seems like I pray for the Lord to open my mind, you know, to the scriptures. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to lead me. And I'll get into a study, and then I have to keep casting down, like being distracted, because my mind will wander off to something else or something, and then I'll pray about that, and then I'll try to get back into it. And so I don't know if it's a spirit of distraction or what. Like, it's a battle to keep refocusing on where I'm trying to be at that moment. But it seems like it's only, like, last night I turned on the study, and I listened for about 15 minutes, and the next thing you know, I fell asleep, and I woke up about 15 or 20 minutes after it played, and so I have to re-listen to it again, and that happened last week with a study, and it happened once on the conference call, too, but nobody caught me, like, like Michael said, you were snoring that time. I just give God praise, because I feel like that's when I get the most peace, is when I'm surrounded by, like, brothers and sisters and in good fellowship and listening to the Word and being fed, that I must just be at total peace then, and then I can just relax and, you know, fall asleep. But I don't know if that's a tactic from the enemy, because then it'll sometimes take me two or three times to listen to the same study, because I'll listen and then have to stop it because something comes up, and then get back to it, so you lose your train of thought and your focus, and I truly don't believe that's from the Lord. So if you can pray that off of me somehow, I don't know how else to explain it except being distracted.
Okay. No, I can relate. There's times where I can have the same, you know, same situation where I'll just be listening to something, and I'll listen for 10 or 15 minutes, and then my mind goes somewhere else, and then when I try to remember what I was listening to or what was being taught, I had gotten totally distracted. So I think it's a ploy of the enemy. So, but we can definitely pray, and that's why we come together, put our faith together, and we're seeing some awesome answered prayers. So Father, right now we put our faith together for Jackie, and we come against these distractions, the thoughts in her mind, that are distracting her from, you know, just being in your Word or listening to a study or just, you know, just fellowshipping in truth. And so right now we just rebuke any spirits that are just, you know, of distractions. We come against any spirits that are allowing her to fall asleep. We just thank you for a sound mind in Jackie right now. And we just ask, Lord, that you just refresh her mind. Just fill her full of your peace, fill her full of your joy, allow her to just be in the rest with you and not be distracted with the cares of the world or the thoughts in her head. And Lord, her desire is just to, you know, fellowship with you and just get the word in her. So we just ask, Lord, that you just help her to stay focused on your truth, Lord. And we just bind and rebuke the enemy from stealing that from her. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, thank you so much. I receive every word of that and more.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
All right. Anybody else want to pray or need prayer?
Hey, Tim, this is Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
I could use some prayer.
Okay.
I was just, I could use some prayer to just ask the Lord to, like, heal any backsliding in my heart and help me repent of any, like, hidden sins or any presumptuous sins or any sins I might be justifying somehow, but I'm not aware of it. And I just want to just get my heart, like, really right with the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just pray. So, Father, we just put our faith together for Trevor. And, Lord, we just ask that you just show him if there's anything in him that is unpleasing to you. And just to expose anything that that he may be dealing with. And we just thank you for granting him a spirit of repentance and just showing him just anything that's unpleasing to you, Lord. And Father, we just come against anything that would cause him to backslide. We just rebuke the lies in his head, or any lies that would come against him to try to get him to fall into sin or the sin nature. And Lord, we just thank you for just giving him boldness and strength to stand on your word and stand on your truth and know that he is free in Christ Jesus, that he was delivered at that cross, that he was set free at that cross. We come against any condemnation in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for just refreshing his spirit, refreshing his mind, just giving him the nature of Christ in his thoughts. And we just thank you for just blessing him, Lord, and just giving him peace. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Did you want to add to that, Michael?
No, I wanted to add with, I would like to pray against the chemtrails. Some of the stuff that they're spraying on us is, as David talked about the other night on the Bible study. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we thank you that your Psalms 91 covers each one of us, Lord. And you have protected us from the onslaught of the enemy to try to dummy down your people. Father, we thank you that you're filtering out all of that stuff before it ever hits us. And, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your shield of protection around each one of us, Father. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that anything that has been affected by this chemicals they've been spraying on us, we command complete restoration of our minds and our memory in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for, and also any kind of joint pain, we command it to go in the name of Jesus out of every one of us that may be experiencing that in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for the restoring work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we just thank you that everything that we breathe in through our lungs is purified, that you're our filter, that anything that is brought in is just totally purified. Anything we drink is purified, and anything we eat is purified. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, anybody else want to pray or need prayer?
Yes, I need prayer.
Okay, Wade, what's up?
Well, I started reading that book that Michael Montana suggested by Poonen. His last name is Poonen. And it made me realize that if I was giving for any other motive than just to give, you know, not even thinking about the fact that you receive when you give, I look at my giving over the last year or so, and it seems like I had a motive to become more Christ-like. That was, I wanted to be more like Jesus when I gave. That was what I wanted from God for that. And this book makes it clear that we shouldn't desire anything other than to give to God and give to the needs of the people. And I'm battling over this, and I know what's right to do, but when I go to give, I guess it's wantonness comes out, you know, to hold on to my money or whatever. It's a battle I'm fighting with how to be in the spirit while giving. And I think God has given me a ministry of health and giving, but there's been a motive. There's been, so I pray to God will get me more in the spirit.
Explain the motive. What is your concern with the motive, or where is the motive wrong?
Well, according to Poonen, if the self is expected, if we're expecting something back when we give, we're giving with a motive.
Okay.
If we desire anything, we're giving with a motive. But I know that David Eales talked about, you know, giving and you could actually make a living by giving. And so I'm iffy on the areas. They've become gray areas to me, where before I was happy to give, you know, and just hopefully expect it. You know, it says hope not again, but it says when the Bible says lend, a lot of people come to me to borrow, and the Bible says to hope not again, to lend and hope not again. And I'm not sure how God wanted us to take that. Some people say that's interest. I've always viewed it as depending on God to be our recompense. And now I'm seeing that there can be selfish motives with expecting God to pay us back. And like, if we don't get what we think back, we might say, "Oh God, I'm sorry. I just need prayer in this area. It's become iffy more so than it was before. I always had a little giving about giving because I was putting myself in jeopardy in a bad place, you know, financially. But I know that to give by faith, I go beyond what I would normally. You know, the world gives according to certain principles, but I want to give according to love.
All right. Well, let's pray, and then let's just talk about that. So, Father, you know, Wade has got a concern on his heart as far as with giving, and he feels that his motives just haven't been exactly right. And right now, Lord, I just come against any confusion in Wade right now, and yes, we just Lord. Come against just any spirit or any thought that's trying to put him under the law or put him into condemnation or trying to bring this confusion on him. And we just forbid that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, Wade's heart is to just be led of you and to give to those that are in need but to be led of you and not to be, you know, giving to expect something back. So, Lord, we just thank you for just bringing truth into him. We just ask you just fill him full of your truth. You just give him wisdom in this and guidance in this and bring truth to the situation. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't know, as far as giving, I mean, I came out of the apostate system of prosperity, where I was brought up to, or taught to, you know, to give, to get blessed. And I shared, you know, a little bit of my testimony behind that. After 7 or 8 years, I was so far in debt, giving, thinking I was going to be blessed. And the Lord led me to David and the truth, where I saw where I was really under the law, under the tithe, and under the law of, you know, getting, expecting to be prospered. And, you know, the Lord put me in a very weak place. And when I just started to be led of Him and walk in faith, and, you know, He kind of took me through different situations, but I came to the place where I just wanted to be led of Him. And if I saw a brother in need, you know, there was a few times that I was sort of manipulated into some things, but, you know, after I learned, because I was led by my emotions rather than being led of the Lord. So I was drawn into my emotions and I was giving, and it turned out I was, you know, after a while I realized I was actually being taken advantage of. But the Lord showed me that, and He ended up, you know, blessing me. And it wasn't a big deal. It was just something that, you know, a trial that He, you know, took me through. But I've come to the point where I just, if I see a need, I pray about it. Or if the Lord puts something on my heart, sometimes I'll throw out fleeces to make sure I'm not in my flesh. But I've, you know, come to the place where, you know, my money really isn't mine. And if I feel the Lord wants me to give, and, you know, there was one time there was, you know, I had loaned somebody a bunch of money, and really they didn't pay me back, and I just, you know, I didn't get into unforgiveness or anything like that. It was the Lord's money. I just let it go, and it was shortly after that I'd gotten sent some money in the mail, and it was more, well above what I had loaned this, you know, this person. So I just think that, you know, as far as when it comes to giving, it's just be led of the Lord. And it's not necessarily your money. It's your time too. It's a lot of things that the Lord wants us to, you know, He wants us to be dead to self and be willing to help others and, you know, bless others and, you know, whatever the situation was. And, today I actually went on a service call to help an elderly gentleman that is on a fixed income, and I'd shared before we'd prayed for him, and he was on a breathing machine and all that. Well, I went back today to put on a couple of parts, and he was actually doing, I mean, I prayed for him when I was there. We prayed for him. And today he was up and about. I mean, he was in the kitchen with me talking and stuff like that. And I just saw just a total answer to prayer. I mean, he was in much better shape. But I just, I was out there to bless him. And, you know, he really wanted to pay me. And I, you know, I just told him, I says, well, you know, I want to bless you, but, you know, he just wouldn't accept that. So I says, well, I want you to ask the Lord, and whatever the Lord puts on your heart, I'll be fine with that. And he didn't know quite how to take that. But it was good. It just opened up a discussion on faith and a few things like that. But then he gets a telephone call, and he finds out his brother has just been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and they gave him a very short time to live. And so we ended up talking faith and talking healing and a lot of different things, and asked him if he had the faith that God could, you know, heal his brother. And I said, let's, you know, are you willing to, you know, to pray? And he was all for prayer. So, excuse me. I don't know what his, you know, he might be Baptist. I don't know what his background is, but, we entered in and prayed together, and it was awesome. So I would like to pray for his brother right now. Let's put our faith together. So Father, I just come together for Bobby that was just diagnosed with a brain tumor, and it was given a bad report as far as, you know, just a very short time to live. And we just rebuke that bad report. We do not accept that bad report, and we just speak to that tumor right now. We command that tumor to die. We command that tumor to go, to shrink down and become nothing in the name of Jesus. And we just give you the glory. We just thank you for healing him and blessing him. And Lord, we just pray that this testimony will touch that family. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, can I share a little something?
Sure can.
About that? Yeah. I know that some of your own fixed incomes, and you have an obligation probably to, for rent or house payment or car payment or whatever it is. That's your obligation to do that. And David, let me think. I lost my train of thought. Okay. So take care of your bills first, and then anything that you have over and above that, be led of the Spirit to give that, and not expect it back. That's in obedience to the Word. It's, we don't give because we want to get. We give because we love the Lord, and that's what He wants us to do. And if we're led of the Spirit, as Wade is really seeking to do, it sounds like, then that's really the way to do it. And Tim was talking about, that's really the way to do it. Be led of the Spirit. Make sure it's the Spirit talking to you and not your flesh and wanting to get something back. But, Wade, you give because you're obeying the Scriptures. And being led of the Spirit is the way we do that. And when you do that, you'll be blessed. Don't worry about that. Don't even think that you'll get anything back, is what the Word says. But you will be, because the Word also says you will. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but I thought I'd just interject that.
Amen. Yeah, there's times, I mean, everybody is, I mean, you go to McDonald's, they're looking for, you know, to get, I mean, you just, there's always people that are looking, you know, you want to give to this, give to that, give to this. And I've really learned to just be led of the Lord, and if I have a check in my spirit, I don't give, and it's really comes down to a brother, you know, brother in need or a situation. I've seen people on the side of the road and thrown a fleece and gotten a no, and I've gotten a yes, and I've, you know, blessed people or bought them food or whatever it is, and you know, you just you know, and I don't expect anything for that. And I just give the Lord the glory, you know. So that's the way I've come to address it. And He's just kind of led me in that. But yeah, but that's right, Michael. If you owe debt or anything like that, I mean, the Lord wants you to be out of debt. So, you know, just take care of your obligations, but if, you know, if you're buying stuff out of the flesh, that, you know, feeding your flesh or something like that, then you need to just kind of pray about that. So, all right. Anybody else
need prayer? How about Brother Slade?
Hey, Brother Slade, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Here, let me say a real quick testimony, and then I want to add to that. But tonight on the way coming home from work, it was late, and I was kind of going fast, and I didn't realize it, and I looked down at my speedometer, and then I caught myself, and I started laughing. And it dawned on me, the reason I was laughing is because I was in a hurry to get home to get on the conference call, because I just enjoy it so much with all the people and everything. And I just started laughing because it was just, to me, it was funny that, you know, I'm never in a hurry for anything. I mean, I work fast and do everything, you know, at whatever pace I'm good at. But it was just, it was cool the way that I was hurrying home to get to be able to, you know, get to the conference call in time. Now, as far as the giving, my personal experience with the Lord on the giving, I've always been a giver. I've always been, like I said, led by the Spirit. And the Lord, and I'm not this isn't bolstering of myself. I'm bolstering of the Lord when I say this. I've been able to give away multi-thousands and thousands of dollars. And it's all because I give. And because I give, because the Lord knows my heart, He gives to me, and I get to give even more. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. His law is His law, and it works. And it even works for non-Christians. A person that isn't a Christian, if they give, it comes back to them. And I just think it's pretty cool how He works. But I've never gone without anything. I've been through some tough trials and all, and like with everybody else, it was the last minute. But to me it was the last minute. To Him, there was plenty of time. But He has never failed me, ever. And I just thank Him and praise Him and give Him all the worship and glory. Glory be to God. That's it. Amen. Love y'all. And if I fall asleep during a conference, don't worry about it. I'll be okay.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And that's really what David is saying is that if you've got a heart to give and you're led of the Lord, I mean, he's definitely going to bless you with that. I mean, He's blessed me. But I think that I've blessed more people giving my time than my money, but I give both, as far as that. So
it don't have to be just anything you've got. If you give it, He'll give it back every single time.
Amen. That is true. That is very true. Anybody else? How about, does anybody have some giving testimonies or any thoughts on that?
Hey, I have a testimony.
Okay, Jackie.
I shared this with two sisters today. I've been being blessed by the Lord so much in the fact that, as the scripture says, when you sow, you reap what you sow. And through my husband sowing much with certain individuals, I'm reaping the benefits now. One testimony is one of his good friends lost his garage, and he's a mechanic, and he ran his business out of it. My husband had bought a garage and he worked on cars and painted and stuff like that and fixed them and things like that. So when his best friend lost his, he invited him to use his garage free and never charged him anything. And he was struggling trying to put his two sons through college at the time. And and now with my cars, this man had bought the garage off of my husband several years before my husband went to be with the Lord. And like now I'm reaping all that. Like the Lord has used him to sow it, and I'm reaping that because when I need something fixed on my car, our best friend just takes it, and I rarely ever get a bill. He takes care of everything for me. So I just praise God for that. And then my neighbor, who my husband had helped a lot with on different things, he's been a godsend, and he helps me all the time with handyman work and things that I've not yet learned how to accomplish on my own, fixing things and repairing things and even carrying heavy things or moving stuff like that. And he's always willing to give a hand and help, and he always tells me, I give God all the glory, and he tells me, I'm just trying to repay you back, for everything your husband did for me. And I thought, wow, like the Lord has used that, like he's never, never, ever abandoned me. I mean, in the struggles that I've had, after he's called my husband home, he has given me so many strong believers in my path. I mean, he sent brother after brother after brother to stand with me and stand in the gap and pray for me and encourage me and lift me up. And then he brought sisters along my path after that. And I just, I'm so thankful. And we were talking about this today in fellowship because I was like, wow, a lot of the things, you know, that he had sowed, I guess that the Lord used him as a vessel in that way. Like, the Lord is just blessing me so much where I don't have to worry about a lot of those things when I have other things on my mind. And so I just praise God for that because it's pretty awesome.
Amen. That is so true. You know, we reap what we sow. So if you sow blessings, you're going to reap blessings.
Yeah, and I hadn't sowed them individually myself, but I guess being as one, you know, when a husband and wife become one, I guess, you know, when your husband sows it, you reap, or when your wife sows it, you know, because of that unity, like, God honors that, I think, and he's just really taking care of me in ways that I can't even, I can't even express on here, like, how many ways he's taking care of me. But my biggest blessing is having strong brethren stand with me and lift me up in prayer, especially when I couldn't stand. So I just thank everybody, and I praise God for that.
Amen. That's awesome. That's a good testimony. But it's so true. Yeah, and right now I enjoy, because something the Lord is, you know, is blessed me with some talents and a few things like that, and you know, it's blessed me through my life, and now I'm just giving to other people, trying to help, you know, help others out with the, you know, the blessings that the Lord's blessed me with, and it's really cool. I enjoy it. Just not expecting anything in return, and because the Lord has blessed me, so I just, you know, want to just show how grateful I am and give back to others. So it's kind of neat when you can do that.
A lot of people in the world call it paying it forward. You know, you do a good deed and pay it forward, but it's the Lord that's paying everything. You know, the Lord gives us the grace and gives us the provision and gives us the wisdom and just gives us puts the love in our heart to want to serve one another. And you know, but a lot of people, if you talk to worldly people, you know, they all say pay it forward, you know, and it's kind of like the same concept, but they're not giving God the glory. And I just believe that everything is coming from him.
It is. That's true. So it's just that most people don't understand that. So,
and
we're blessed. Go ahead.
Amen. I was going to say it's an awesome blessing when he gives you understanding to have that revelation. It's just such a peace when you can get that revelation that it's all him, you know.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I have a testimony. This is Amber.
Okay, Amber, let's hear it.
Before I give the testimony, I wanted to, when we were praying for Jackie about her falling asleep, scripture came to me, James 3:16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. My testimony is, a giving testimony is, one day a sister asked me to come over and help over at her house. And she wanted to make sure that we were done with her homeschool. And I said, well, don't worry about that. You just tell me the time, you know, where you need me to come over, and God will bless my time. You know, we'll, it'll be fine, whichever time you pick. So she picked the time. And so I got my daughter. We did our homeschool. We started working on our homeschool, and I thought, well, we'll just do as much as we can, and when we're done, we'll just go on. Well, not only did we get, normally the time that we needed to be there would have been a couple more hours that we would have had school. But anyway, we got the whole day's school done. We were able to have lunch, and then I even got an extra hour from somewhere. God multiplied my time. I got an extra hour to do something I'd been putting off for a long time. So, you know, when we give, when we're led by the Lord, he can, you know, multiply our time and bless us.
Awesome. Awesome. That's good. I like when he multiplies our time.
Yeah, it's cool.
Amen. All right, anybody else has something on their heart? Actually, I just thought of some of you in here might know. I just got a email came down to pray for Frank Thornton. So don't know what's going on, but apparently, you know, he's in the hospital, and Frank's an old friend of David's, and so I just want to, and I think he's prayed for some of the people in here, and he's just a prayer warrior and just a man of God. So Father, right now, I just lift up Frank, and you know what's going on there, Lord, and we just pray your grace and mercy over him, Lord, that whatever's happening, that you just deliver him. And we just rebuke the enemy from trying to take him out, and we forbid that in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Lord, for just healing Frank, and whatever's happening with him, whatever reason he's in the hospital right now, we just call that to, we just call him healed in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for working in him and just getting him out of there in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, Frank was, when I came down to visit one time, Frank happened to be there, and I didn't know who he, you know, I'd heard him on a couple of the broadcasts and that, but he kind of, him and I started talking, and we were at like a pot blessing type thing, and he just kind of took me under his wing and just started sharing testimony after testimony after testimony of things that the Lord had done in his life. And I mean, he's got some amazing testimonies. And when I came out of that meeting, I mean, he was just, I mean, some of these testimonies are just, you know, just amazing. I mean, he shared one about he'd gone to some small church in the hills to preach, and he totally forgot about getting gas. He was going to get gas before he left, and he totally forgot about it, and he drove all the way into the mountains and went to this little church, and he said it ended up, I mean, the service, I mean, they were just praying. The Holy Spirit came in. They got out of there really late. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Everything was closed, and he totally forgot about the gas. And he said he was on his way back in the middle of the mountains. I mean, just no towns around, anything like that. And all of a sudden his car just starts sputtering out. And he was like, oh, he realized he never got gas. And so he just cried out to the Lord, says, Lord, you need to get me home. And, you know, he said that he was just, you know, asking the Lord for, you know, for help. And he said the next thing you know, it was like somebody just started pushing his car. And, you know, he'd run out of gas, he was kind of coasting, all of a sudden somebody just started pushing his car, and he was just going down the hills. And then the next thing you know, he sees a Y in the road, and he knows in the spirit that he needs to turn off to that Y. And
hello?
He turns off to that, you know, the Y in the road, and he said he comes up to two gas pumps and a guy standing there, and he pulls up, and the guy, you know, puts the gas into his tank and says, you know, later on. And you know, Frank was telling me that, I mean, this was just in the middle of nowhere. There was two gas pumps and a light and this man standing there, and he knew it was just an angel, and he put gas in his tank and waved him on, and, you know, he made it home. And it was like, wow, you know, just, I mean, he just had a bunch of, you know, different testimonies like that, that were, you know, were really, you know, really pretty, pretty amazing. So it was kind of neat, but he was just talking about just walking in faith and the Lord providing, and just a lot of things that the Lord had done in his life. And man, I came out of that meeting and I was just, my faith was just quadrupled. I mean, it was just like, it was so neat. It was at a time where I really needed, you know, just some encouragement in my faith. And Frank, you know, Frank did that. So it was definitely a blessing. Amen. So, All right. How about anybody have a testimony? Anything they'd like to share? Want to brag on the Lord?
I guess that's where I come in at.
Hey, Famika.
I want to brag on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to just keep bragging on him and not false bragging. This is really true. That and I can just be very transparent. Like, as every day goes by, some days seem more difficult than others because being in the flesh, you know, life happens. Maybe troubled relationships or sick loved ones or being misunderstood by family or, you know, just trouble in my marriage at times or, you know, sometimes my son is 3 and so that I don't have to say anymore, he's 3. I thank God for him, but these are just things on the earth that, you know, can sometimes trouble us. But in the spirit, I just want to say that the more I think about the Lord and just have my prayer time with God, it's just really increasing, and the intimacy is just overshadowing, like shadowing cares, like the other person that was talking about money. I was just listening because I felt it was needful for me to just listen, because I know lately things like of the world, it's just not, it doesn't seem important. It's just like, God, I just want to know, and I don't have tons of money, you know, if God wants something, it's like, here, have it, because the Bible says, know you not that you're not your own. We don't even belong to ourselves. We ourselves, not just our money, us, is what God is after. He's pursuing us, and I just feel like the intimacy and the understanding and the friendship with Jesus Christ is so real, and it just is overshadowing everything. And I'm not saying, you know, when I come back from my prayer time or my fellowship, of course I have to come back to the daily tasks of life. You know, I have to take care of my family. I don't mean to say it like it's, you know, drudgery. You know, I love my family, so I do what I need to do. But it's just an increased awareness of why we're even in the body of Christ to live such a higher life. Thank God for houses and cars and, you know, the natural things that we need. But I just find that the more I fellowship with the Lord, like, he's revealing a much higher life and a much higher purpose. And, you know, I just find myself just wanting my moments to be spent fellowshipping with him. Or even I used to feel very tired, like I don't want to wake up. If God wakes me up at 4:30 in the morning, I just turn over and go to sleep, because I didn't feel like I really had the, you know, the desire like I had when I was in my 20s. I'm 45 now, but that's not true. That was just my carnal mind, because if you put it in my heart that every time you wake up at that time, that's the Lord waking me up to say that he wants to fellowship with me. So when that happened, when I looked at the clock and it was like 4:30, and I was like thinking, well, I'm going to go back to sleep, but I kept wrestling with that thought that this is the Lord saying he wants to fellowship with me, that he, you know, the prayer that I was praying to find intimacy. And then I, you know, you think about that, the years you spend being tormented, if any of you have ever been, I know I have been so tormented by the devil or tormented by thoughts that maybe it's never going to happen, and waiting. And it's like with so many years, and just to know that God is interested in fellowshipping with man, it's just really blowing my mind. It's beyond just this. It's beyond this world. I feel like, at times, I've even felt like, God, I wish I could just give away everything. It's just like I just get, like, tired of this world. Not like I'm tired, like I don't want to live anymore, but just like it's just something that about the Lord, it makes you just be like, just like the Bible says, it's like when you find that precious pearl, you feel like you just want to sell out, because that pearl is everything that you ever wanted. And that's what I'm finding out about Jesus. He is, I'm sorry if I'm getting very emotional, but I just find him to be so much more than anything I've ever experienced on this earth. And it's like his love and his acceptance, and it's just so incredible. And, you know, I've experienced a lot of hurts in my life and my upbringing. I've experienced so much rejection from my family. And just for God to let me know that he knows that, but yet he's still increasing me in love, and he's healing my broken heart. And it's just beyond healing my broken heart. I just know that there's a promise that on the other side of going through this, I just know that I believe so strongly I'm going to be like the Lord, not because of myself or not because I'm any different from any Christian. I just believe him. And it's just so powerful to just simply believe the Lord and become like a child and let him purify us and really focus that God will supply our every need. We don't know how he turns the food and multiplied it. We don't know how God works these miracles that when we believe on him, it always works out. We don't have to know. All God called us to do is just believe. And I don't know, it's like over the past couple of days, sometimes the doubt tries to creep in. And, you know, the talk, and I think it's myself sometimes, but then as I get in the presence of the Lord, I realize that was just the enemy, because Jesus always keeps coming back and confirming his word. Like, yeah, that was me talking to you, and he lets me know he knows the enemy is trying to battle me, bring fear, and God keeps coming in my heart that, you know, you're going to get beyond that fear of the spirit world, because you're going to go deeper and the intimacy is going to increase. And it's just such an incredible promise. And I just want to share it because I believe God is doing that for every believer. And if anybody has ever been discouraged, it's like I know what that discouraged, years of that discouragement of waiting for God and wondering, even finances, not always seeing how things are going to work out. But God reminds me, it has always worked out. I'm never going without shelter or food. I mean, good shelter, not just a place to live. But God always provides. And, you know, I don't know how he does it, but he always does it. You know, I'm married. But even before I was married, God always, 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 always provides. And what if we didn't have our jobs and stuff, but we had to depend on the Lord supernaturally? So it's so much more important to seek his kingdom. And whatever he tells you to give away, just do it, because this stuff is like it's nothing. This stuff that we call money is really just paper. It's just a means of exchange. But God is able to, I'm not saying don't use wisdom. I'm just saying just follow God. If he say go left, go left. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to reason it out. And that's what God's been telling me, because I overthink things a lot. And God's like, just be like a child and just walk with me. And it's just been, I don't have no words. It's just been, oh, I have no words. I've never seen anything like this in my life. A person so pure and holy, so forgiving, so kind, such a good father, so understanding. And I wasn't raised with my father, so I didn't know how to really relate to God. But then God just talked to me just like a father, so good, so kind. His expectations of us are so pure. Like, he doesn't bash us. He's not like the Pharisees. He's not, it's like God, he's so intimate. And I just feel more and more God is hungering for intimacy with us more than we thought. I've heard people say that, and I would repeat it because it sounds deep and spiritual, but I'm not just repeating somebody else. That's what God's showing me, like even when waking us up and wanting us to fellowship, it's not because he's trying to make our life hard. God, I believe the Father type is so hungry for his children. That's what God is showing me about my life, when he wakes me up to pray, to spend time with him, to read my Bible. It takes away my hunger. I don't even want it. It's not about being religious. It's like I don't even want to hear what they're saying on television. I want to hear God and hearing you all. It's like, God, I want to hear from you, and I hear from him when I hear us all on this phone conversation, you know, talking about the Lord. So, anyway, that's what's been happening in my life. And I give Jesus all the praise. It's to him it belongs all the glory. I just praise God for the Holy Ghost, for the Spirit of God, the kindness. Oh, the kindness from the Holy Ghost is so deep. So much kindness, not just a little bit of kindness. It's like so much kindness. The Holy Ghost is the kindest person. And that's what I was praying for. I don't want to know him as an influence or a win. I want to know, like, God, I don't want to just know your power. I want to know you. I want to know your heart, your character, your personality. And to get to know the Holy Spirit, the things he says, it's like amazing. So kind. That's the only word I can think of to describe the presence of Jesus. Full of kindness, full of mercy, full of forgiveness, long-suffering. Everything the Bible says is true about God. It's so true. That's why God always wants us to think on good things. not because it's about positive thinking, but because God is all good, everything, 100% good. That's why he wants our minds to always reflect on good things and not worry and have the cares of this world, because when we focus on what the Word of God says or who God is, we see God through focusing on the Word of God. So there's nothing dark or evil about God. Like, wow, it's amazing.
Praise God, Sister.
Amen. Hey, Formica, was there a specific thing that broke off the yoke of bondage and set you free?
Yeah.
Can you give your testimony as far as what happened?
Yeah. Oh, well, first of all, I was thinking, you're Trisha's husband, right? You're Tim?
Yes.
Okay, well, initially I called your wife. That was, back in December? And I said I wanted to know God sovereignly, and she gave me her testimony, and we prayed together, and that helped. But then throughout this whole journey for years, I was seeking help, and I had bondage. So I was on this couple that I know of who are deliverance. I don't know them personally, but through this man out of Louisiana, Gene Moody. Okay, he's a deliverance minister. And so these people operated under Gene Moody, like he ordained them or whatever. But they're not into this ordination theology stuff. Anyway, I contacted them, and they were able to lead me through deliverance prayers for about a month and a half. They were leading me through prayers, and I found out some things about my life, like my, not ancestors, but people that came before me, like they were in the Masons, so these people were casting out demons of fear. They were just informing me about people or offspring who have this stuff in their family. They tend to have like a lot of fear or early death. And so they were just breaking up all this stuff and teaching me how to do self-deliverance, how to bind up spirits, and how the spirit world is very real, but you have to stick with it every day. And I began to do what they told me to do. It was a culmination of things, of crying out to the Lord, just spending a lot of time with him in prayer. Another thing is that something I would not embrace in my life for many years when I lived in New York, even maybe 10, 12 years ago, somebody prophesied to me that, you know, something in terms of an intercessor. So I left New York and moved to Missouri. And even when I left Missouri, before I left, the last person that prophesied to me something about intercession, I did not want that. I mean, that's prideful, but I'm just being honest. I did not want that for my life. Long story short, recently I finally went to God. I was like, God, I knew that you called me to do this. And you know, I also felt like I prayed for people, but I really just finally repented. It's like, God, I'm sorry. You put me in the body according to how it has pleased you, not how it has pleased me. And I began to really repent. And as I began to repent, I began to see areas of pride in my life, even things that you thought was okay, like, oh, I think I'm humble. You know, it's like God showed me compared to his humility. And even now when I'm talking to you, when I think about Jesus, it makes me so much more want to be pure because he's so pure. It's like, God, I want to be less prideful. You know, it's not just one thing that I can focus on where I have been prideful. It's just like his character is birthing a desire for me to be just like Jesus. It's like, God, there's so much to the Christian life. And as I went through the deliverance prayers, to start praying prayers of deliverance, to start praying prayers of forgiveness, that I was holding unforgiveness against people. And I began to see that in my prayer life, how I hadn't really forgiven. I began to watch videos on YouTube about people that died and had experiences of going to heaven, or even pastors who thought they were going to heaven, but they were going to go to hell, but God allowed them to live. It was like the fear of God through the culmination of these things, even fellowshipping with you all on the phone, a culmination of things that was bringing about a fuller revelation of who Jesus is, just seeking the Word, reading Psalm 91, and just really starting to take God at his Word. And every day I just pray more and more. Every day I want to go through repentance, not just from sin, but wrong attitudes, things I've been taught, religious stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus, that God is love. Attitudes, I have anger, and God has to show me that's not my spirit. I even make up excuses while I'm human. even though I'm a Christian, and I know the Bible says be angry but don't sin, but it doesn't mean to purposely be angry, to be angry on purpose, like you have a right to be angry. It means if you do get angry, just don't sin, okay? And if you don't sin, then don't open your mouth and say anything out of your anger or do anything, but it doesn't mean to feel like you have a right to be angry. It means if you happen to get angry, just don't sin. But I was feeling like I had a right to have these attitudes, and now I realize when the Bible says, know you not that you're not your own, you really do not belong to yourself, because God bought you with a price, and who was I to tell God I don't want to be an intercessor? So last Sunday, I saw this video on YouTube, and it really broke me, because God was showing me how he wanted people, his people, to pray for the backslidden and for people who are away from God. And it was like, it just broke me. Like, God, that's exactly what you called me to do for many years. And I could have been praying for all those people. And I just was like, God, forgive me, because somebody could have been saved. Maybe somebody was in hell because I didn't fulfill that assignment. I'm not saying it's condemnation on me now. I'm just saying that it broke me, because that's God's heart. He was showing me how dear God is about souls. He wants us to pray for the backslidden people, the people that don't know him, and not just be so focused on, am I going to get another car, or, you know, or will you clear up my acne? You know, I'm hoping, but it's like, that's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, God is concerned about these souls that are away from him, that don't know him. The devil's tormenting him. There's so much we can do as believers. Even one of us could do, if we just believe it's all in line with his assignment for our life, not just focusing on our own family. Yeah, I have a lot of family problems. My mom was faced with being diagnosed with a pre-leukemia that progresses into full-blown leukemia. My sister has a disease that's like lupus. They both have blood diseases. I know they're demons. I know those are curses. So I've been praying against those. I have difficulty in my family. Some of my family, they have so much coldness of heart. They say they're Christians, but we're so separated. I feel that cold spirit. And the Lord allowed me to see he's done that separation, because the spirit, God showed me, because the spirit's in you, that spirit's in them. They don't love my spirit. It's not me. It's the spirit of God. And then God, and it hurt me so bad. So I'm like, God, these are my family members. Their love for me is so cold. And it really hurt me so deeply. But God began to show me, you know what? You have to learn to just keep walking with me, because this is how it is in these last days, and keep praying for them that their hearts would be melted. And you keep being obedient to me, and they're going to see God in you. And, you know, they'll have an opportunity to even receive him or keep walking in that cold love. But it has been heartbreaking, because I feel like I had nobody to understand me or nobody to fellowship. But in the midst of all that suffering, I feel like out of it, something tremendous is coming, because the suffering is also showing me Jesus and my selfish ways. And I'm just being honest. Through seeing the Lord, I saw how selfish I have been, how prideful. It's like, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. I really, really do, and I'm not just saying that. And I don't know. I'm answering your questions with a million words. I'm sorry. But it was just through the prayers of other people, searching, digging, praying, even when I could not feel the anointing. I couldn't feel nothing. I couldn't hear God. Then I start hearing many things. Even I was telling a friend, I hear angels singing. When I wake up, I got so discouraged last Sunday. Oh, my goodness, I was so discouraged. I'm like, I don't go to church. Oh, the people think I'm backslidden. I just don't want to be there, because what they're teaching is not God. That's just religious. So last week I felt like, oh, my husband's going to church and I'm not going. How this must look so awful, and I was feeling sorry for myself, and I kept falling into a deep sleep, and I felt discouraged and depressed, even though this intimacy was growing with the Lord. And I heard a band of heavenly voices singing, and they were singing the words to me when I was waking up. I've never heard any singing. It's not human, no music. It's a band of thousands of heavenly voices. They said to me, Lord, what did they say to me, God? Oh, they said to me, they said, hold on. They said, hold on, help is on the way. And I woke up, and those words were still singing in my spirit. because in the spirit world, when they were singing, those words go into your spirit like life and like living encouragement. They're not just words, they're spirit, they're life.
Amen. That's awesome. So it really came down to spiritual warfare, learning your authority, deliverance. I mean, all the things that the Word teaches, and breaking, you know, soul ties, or coming against the curse that come down through the generational, and that's awesome, because I just it's just such a pleasure to, you know, to hear the Christ coming out of you and the freedom that you've received. You know, the deliverance you've received as far as from the truth. It's just, it's awesome. So thanks for sharing. So,
praise the Lord.
But I know that the one thing you said as far as it's okay to be angry, we just had a...
I'm sorry. Did I say it's okay?
Yeah. Well, in a way, I just want to kind of clear that up.
I didn't mean to be irate. I mean, it's not a, my old way was, it's okay to be irate. God didn't mean that.
Okay.
I mean,
all
like,
right.
If you felt the emotion of anger and don't sin, just because you feel the anger, don't act upon it. But I was trying to say that I used to justify feeling angry like I had a right. And then when I started getting in the presence of God, He began to show me, no, you don't have a right. There's another scripture that says, put off anger and malice. It's like, so He was showing me, you have no right to, and He showed me that's a work of the flesh, basically. Like, that's, you're in your flesh, and you should learn to keep a quiet and a meek spirit. That's what He told me in place of my own thought.
Amen. Yeah, because we've been really studying unforgiveness, and anger is wrapped up into unforgiveness and judging, and he doesn't want any of that in us as far as that. So, but I had a brother over last week, and we were just, you know, we were going through one of the chapters of the curse of unforgiveness, and he'd heard David's teaching, you know, as far as on the curse of unforgiveness, but he never really sat down and read it. And Trish and I, you know, each week we go through a chapter, and we get together on Wednesdays, and we do our little, you know, our Bible study, and it's awesome. But we'll go through a 1 hour Bible study, and we will probably spend, with just Trish and I, we might spend 4 to 6 hours or something just reading through this, because we study out the scriptures, or it, you know, we see something in us, and we, you know, we just you know, pray, or you know, whatever, wherever we're led. But it's just we get, you know, we get led all over the place. We had a, you know, brother came by, and we were going to be doing the Bible study. He said, "Hey, you want to join us?" And I could tell he was kind of him hawing around, and he was like, "Yeah, I kind of heard that and that." And I said, "Well, let's, you know." So I printed him off a copy, and I said, "Let's just you know, read a few pages." And we started reading, you know, just about unforgiveness and that. And he'd already heard this study. And all of a sudden, when he was reading it, and he realized, like anger, you know, there's times he just gets frustrated at his work. And he came to realize that frustration was towards people, and that frustration was really unforgiveness, or he was judging them because of what they were doing or what they weren't doing. And he was just seeing that and repenting and just getting free. And I mean, we just went through maybe 3 or 4 pages, and there was times he would jump up and he was running, you know, through the house saying, you know, he said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it." 'Cause he's been in a trial. He's been in some areas turned over to the tormentors and that, and he had no idea why, but what it was is he was dealing with some unforgiveness. And the more we talked, the more we went through it, And then we got into, what was the other, guilty. Feeling guilty or dealing with guilt and seeing where guilt is, you know, it is a spirit, but it's actually a form of manipulation. It's almost like witchcraft. And he was seeing where people he worked with used guilt to control him. And he saw where he was dealing with guilt almost every day. And that, and the more we talked about it, and when he really saw it, he saw that the guilt came in. He was married for a short time early in his life, but his ex-wife just put guilt on him. And prior to that, he never dealt with guilt. And then after the divorce, the spirit of guilt jumped on him, and he says, I've dealt with guilt almost every day of my life since I've been divorced. And just going through this Bible study, he saw this, and he was so upset when he saw it, because he never thought about it. He never thought about being manipulated by guilt or how guilt has controlled his life. And, I mean, this has been, you know, probably 10, 15 years. And he was getting set free just going through and just seeing truth. You know, truth that he's heard, but he's never really sat down and, you know, read it and thought about it. Because when you listen to it, it just keeps flowing, and you might pick up little things. But when you sit down and you read one of these studies, there's a lot of depth in there. And, you know, same thing is when we, you know, sit down and go through, you know, the Bible study, we'll sit down with a group of people. And, you know, typically we spend 3 or 4 hours, and it's, you know, just different revelations that the Lord brings through. While people are studying this, the Lord shows them stuff, or it spins them off to, you know, Bible study and something. And, you know, it's really a neat thing. So I just want to cover that, because he, you know, he was really seeing where anger and frustration and a lot of different things that he was dealing with at work was really unforgiveness and judgment. And and he got set free. So amen. All right, anybody else have a comment or something on their heart?
Yeah, Tim, this is Judy. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, one thing before I start my testimony, Lulu, that site that has David's books and stuff, they're having a free shipping till midnight tonight. It's just today, but so I thought if anybody, you know, afterwards would want to get on and wanted to order some of David's books, because that's where the price, that's where the cost is in the shipping, because they charge a lot for shipping the books. But, you know, if anybody wanted any books of David's, it's free shipping today only till 12 on Lulu.
Okay, but, awesome.
Okay, but then what I wanted to really say is I've been looking at this other house to rent. And there was a guy that was supposed to come by and look at the house that I'm in, because I can't get out of this lease till somebody else rents it. Well, he didn't come. And so the new owner, called this other couple, and they came out and looked at it today around 11. And they said, oh, this is an answer to prayer. And they just went on and on, and how great they're living in a mobile home now, that the furnace isn't working and it's so cold in there. And they've been looking for something. And, oh, they just were so happy that this was could be available to them. And they just went on and on. She doesn't drive, and she could walk to the senior citizen thing. And they just went on and on. And I said something about the Lord. They said, oh, you're a Christian. You know? I said, yeah. And she said, we are too. And we just started talking then about the Lord, but how the Lord brought them there to this house. You know, and I thought, oh, that is so awesome that, you know, that is happening. So they're going to rent this place, and they are just, they didn't know if they could get out of their lease, but they went back and talked to the guy. And I think because that furnace isn't working and stuff, anyhow, the guy's going to let them out of their lease, which wasn't up till July. And they came back in an hour later, and they said, oh, we want this place. And they were so happy. It just made me so happy to think that, you know, this is going to go to some people that really, really want it. So I wanted to thank the Lord for doing that, because I didn't know for sure if I was going to be moving or not, because nothing really happened. And I just told the Lord, okay, it's up to you. Whatever you want to do, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to, you know, think about it. I've turned it over to you. Whatever you want to do. You know, if you want me to move, okay, and if you don't, okay. So, I mean, just that just worked out so awesome today. I just was so thrilled and so happy. So, anyhow, if I move this weekend, if anybody's hearing this call that's down here, I might need help on moving that furniture that's in the house. So we're going to, I think, talk about it more tomorrow night. I talked to David about it, but anyhow, so I am going to be moving over to this other house, which is beside a lot of the people that live down here in Tennessee. Don and Marlene live there, and Belinda and Lakeisha, and I'll be all in this little community-like thing. And so that's kind of where when I came down to Tennessee, I said, Lord, I want to be in this area. And so he's putting me there. That's, isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Tim, of course, I'm not going to be there, but my trailer's over at Mary and Marvin.
Okay. Yeah, we'll. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get her taken care of. There'll be plenty of help as far as that.
You.
So just be in the rest, Judy. So
yeah,
that's
I
awesome.
Am.
How I mean, the Lord just. You know, you were in the rest. The Lord worked all the details out. And and it looked like when he makes a move, it comes quickly. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you, Father. You are awesome.
Yeah. Awesome God.
Amen. So, all right. Anybody else have any, have a testimony or anything that's on their heart to share?
Hi, dude. This is Amber again.
Hey, Amber again. Let's hear it.
This is actually a testimony from Lexi. It's a short one, but, you know, we had a little bit of snow here in Tennessee today, just some flurries, and Lexi was outside playing. She came inside and said, Mom, God said, Lexi, I made this snow for you.
Because we haven't been having very much. We haven't had, like, any snow here that's really enough to worthwhile go out playing. And when we do get snow, it's not in time for me to go out and play in it.
So I thought that was neat.
So the Lord blessed her. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And told her that he made it for her.
And told her that it was for her.
Oh, we got an awesome Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Anything the Lord showed you this week? Any revelation?
Yeah. You know, this, you talked about that Bible study we're in, the curse of unforgiveness. It's what's revealing to me is that through these Bible studies, we're picking up these, oh, I don't know what to call it, but other than God is showing us these little items that seemingly were little items, but in, of course, in the kingdom, they're big items that we need to get rid of. And it seems to be, I can see a filter coming down from heaven and going through his body of believers and getting out that old junk that we've been carrying around for so long. And it has really helped me, go through these Bible studies. I see too many areas that God needs to work out in myself, but he's showing us those things for a reason, and that's for us to allow him to take that darkness out of our hearts. It's just been, like Tim said, it's just been awesome, awesome revelation after revelation. And he's right, man. You get in these studies, 3 or 4 hours later, you find yourself just on 3 or 4 pages, not even, you know, halfway through the study yet. But it's just awesome what God's doing, as far as I'm concerned. in these Bible studies, because he's bringing these little items out like a neon sign, because there it is right there, you know, that's the one that I need right there. And we see those things, and then we can repent and ask God to take it from us, and He will. So it's been awesome for me, and I believe it has for everybody that's been participating in the local Bible study. Just thought I'd relate that. It's really helped me.
Right. And the thing is you can, like even the curse of unforgiveness, you know, if you've got somebody you could study it with, or if you don't, I mean, just taking the book and taking the time and just kind of praying before you read, and just allowing the Lord to use that to show, you know, what is, you know, what's unpleasing that's in you, or just any revelation or anything like that. I mean, it's kind of neat if you can do it in a group, but if you can't, you know, we tried to bring it to this type of format, but it just didn't flow, you know, the way it does, you know, as far as when you're reading it or in a group. But, you know, the Lord is showing me, I mean, just through this, that I'm really seeing where something He's been dealing with me with is that if you're, you know, some people are more verbal than others, or if they're upset, you know, it just comes out, or, you know, they don't have a poker face or that. But what I've done is throughout my life is I have pushed everything down. So I'm trying to die to flesh, but what I'm doing is I'm kind of like, if I get angry or frustrated or something like that, I'm just kind of pushing it down and trying to die to that flesh. But what's happening is I'm not getting rid of it. So I've just been kind of suppressing it. And, you know, from the outside, nobody will really know if I'm angry or frustrated or anything like that. I just kind of deal with it, and I push it down, and I keep pushing these thoughts down or whatever it is. And lately He's shown me that that's unpleasing to Him. I mean, just because you're pushing it down doesn't mean that you're free from that. So if you're continuing to deal with, you know, those thoughts or those emotions or whatever it is, you know, He's showing me that I have to bring it to Him and confess it, not just keep pushing it down. And, you know, some people, you know, He knows our thoughts. He knows our innermost, you know, type thing. So it's just, He wants that to be gone. Because, I mean, that's in my spirit, or, you know, it's still there. Even though I keep it suppressed, it's still there. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, as we go through these things, he's working in all of us to show, you know, what is unpleasing to Him. But He can use anything. I mean, He can use the Bible studies. He can use this fellowship, that, and it's kind of neat. So, but yeah, I just, you know, I encourage you, if you've got, you know, got somebody you can, you know, do a study on, just look through the manuscripts or go through the books or whatever it is, and just kind of press in and take your time, and don't just try to read it to read it. I mean, read it to get something out of it. And the Lord will use it, because everything that David has is just scripture after scripture after scripture, or scripture testimony. And it just will challenge you as far as in the word or that. But even this curse of unforgiveness, there's a lot of things that we justify. Or not us, our flesh justifies. Our flesh does not want to die. And, you know, when the Lord shows it to you, I mean, he wants you to confess it. He wants you to get rid of it. And the more, you know, and the enemy, I mean, just doesn't want to give that up. But the more you do that, you get delivered. You get set free from that. So it's awesome. So I just want to kind of encourage. So, all right, anybody else? Well, I've been kind of reading as far as on the crucified life, and I shared a little bit last week, and I thought I would share a little bit this evening. Just some good things that I think a lot of us are just confirmation as far as walking or going through the cross, just not to the cross. And, you know, you got to, you know, it's death, burial, and resurrection. And you got to get dead to self to be resurrected in that resurrected life. And so self has got to die so Christ can be totally manifested through you. So I just thought I would just share a little bit as far as some thoughts on this. But it's, it's about following no one but the Holy Spirit, and who is bound only to do and say what Jesus and the head or the Father is doing and saying, as John 16 and 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you in all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these things shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore I say that he taketh of mine and shall declare it unto you. And not only that, but knowing no other voice but that of the good shepherd, as John 10 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. That we are, you know, to be joined to no other one but the Lord, as in 1 Corinthians says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And that, you know, having been bought with a price, as 1 Corinthians 7, you were bought with a price, become not a bondservant of men. So we're not to be owned by anyone except Christ, yet belong to each other in the deepest spiritual sense of the word, having no other life to live but his life, that it should be lived in and through you. As Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We need to be what God has made us to be, who say what God says and do what God tells us, having our lives styled after that of the true prophets of God, being led by the same Spirit that was on Elijah, having this radical relationship with God in the Spirit, speaking for God by our very lifestyle, bringing conviction to the world, and preparing the way of the Lord, appearing as a maverick in the body of Christ, but in fact the very opposite, having no rebellion to be found within us, and given absolutely to the will of God at all cost. Following the Spirit and being led according to the Scriptures, that the gifts and ministries of the Spirit will emerge and begin to flow together in the body without walls, coming together in good scriptural order and liberty as one man, according to Ephesians 4. till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. His divine purpose and plan are revealed in our lives, that His presence and power is manifested, and that the body is emerging as a corporate sons throughout the world. It must be the work of the Holy Spirit who is building God's house and not man, as Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, thy labor is vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. No man knows how to build God's house. He can only submit to the sanctifying word of the Holy Spirit who is doing the building and be radically obedient to what he is shown by the Spirit to do. Any attempt to institutionalize God's divine order or legislate ahead of the Spirit is carnal, resulting in legalism and death. 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Rivers of living water from within, the life and power of the Spirit is the driving force within us, allowing the living waters to well up from within our innermost being, being a river of life. As John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. Respond to all that is demanded by the Spirit, to pray, fast, praise, and worship without the prompting of man, not needing man's how-to books, teachings, seminars, and workshops, only the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to guide you. That's 1 John 2 and 27. And as for you, the anointing which you receive of him abides in you, and you need not that anyone teach you. But as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you abide in him. And Romans 3 and 4, let God be found true, but every man a liar. Knowing the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. Knowing the word of God is within us, that we are in him and he is in us. We are one, even as he is one with the Father, as John 17 and 20. But for them also that believe on me through their word, which is through their confession, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, which is Christ and the Father, that the world may believe that thou didst send me, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them. And them is the ones that believe and confess, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in one, which is Christ in you, and you in Christ, that you may be made perfect in one, perfect in Christ. Colossians says, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Thessalonians says that the name or the nature, character, and authority of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. not only having the Spirit of Christ, which is his nature, character, and authority in us, but also having the Holy Spirit within us. But if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which is the Holy Spirit, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. And 1 John 2:24 is, for ye let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abideth in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And what we've heard, you know, from the beginning is the true words spoken to the disciples, that we need not to waver on that or on other theologies or other doctrines. If we understand that the Word of God are the promises of God, so if the Word of God is within us, then the promises of God are within us and cannot be obtained by outwardly works, but are attained by faith, knowing that we have already received them. We not only have the kingdom, the word, the promises, Christ, and the Holy Spirit within us, as we continue to put the word in us and walk in obedience, we sanctify ourselves, being separated unto God. We are becoming the manifestation of the word in and through our lives. We are living epistles, which is a living message or the living word, as 2 Corinthians 3:3, being made manifest that ye are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in tablets that are hearts of flesh, and such confidence have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We must abide in Christ, and in the Word your prayers will be answered, and you will bear fruit. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Not allowing our flesh to speak through us, but only allowing Christ to speak and minister through us as being living oracles of God. If any man speaketh, as it were an oracle of God, if any man ministereth, ministering as the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. We are becoming the Word made flesh in our own bodies, as we are the body of Christ in the world. If we understand that the Holy Spirit is within us, then the Holy Spirit comes another comforter and a Spirit of truth in us, as in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you. We also receive God's love, as Romans 5:5, and hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. We not only get his love, we get his joy, but it is conditional, as John 15:10, if ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abides in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. We also receive hope, as 1 Peter 3:15, by sanctifying in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answers to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you. If you have the Holy Spirit, you also receive life, as Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit ye put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. The Father, God, Christ, his mind, his nature, his character, the Word, the promises, the Holy Spirit, living epistles, living oracles, the Spirit of truth, God's love, joy, peace, and his life in us. That's a pretty awesome package he has put in us. As 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The normal Christian life is the crucified life, that to which God has called all his disciples. It is considered normal Christian living from God's point of view. Any attempt at life in Christ that is less than this is immature, is an immature discipleship. Yet it is not something that one can attain in one's own strength. Jesus alone is the fulfillment and our Redeemer and our redemption, our Justifier and our justification, our Deliverer and our deliverance, our Sanctifier and our sanctification, our Glorifier and our glorification. If we want any of these things, we have to get him. He is it. It is not a matter of God being willing to redeem, justify, deliver, sanctify, or glorify. He's already done it. It's a matter of our believing in him as the finisher of his own work, done on our behalf, and of our being willing for God to work in us all that he has done for us. Some people are not willing to go on in sanctification and glorification. You cannot have glorification without first going through sanctification. You cannot have sanctification without first going through justification. We were justified. We are being sanctified. We will be glorified. Together, this is the salvation process. We are becoming who we are in Christ Jesus. These are being worked out in our lives as we are willing and yielded. Oswald Chambers, in his devotional book, My Uttermost for His Highest, wrote, "It is not a question of whether God is willing to sanctify me. Is it my will? Am I willing to let God do it in me, all that he has been made possible by the atonement?" Born out of fire. An example of disciples being born out of fire is Acts 1:8-1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, which was Stephen's death. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Because of the great persecution, the disciples were scattered abroad. And it goes on to say in 2, and the devoted men buried Stephen and made great lamentations over him. But Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committing them to prison. They therefore that were scattered abroad went about preaching the word. And he's saying that these scattered Christians went forth preaching the word. Jesus Christ had given those first disciples the commission to go and make disciples in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But he says, but they were at ease in Jerusalem and were not going out as they had been commissioned. Therefore, it took persecution to scatter them and go to all the nations. Again, it will take persecution to scatter the saints from their complacency. Persecution is often God's shaking, his tool for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The true gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anything else is not true but another gospel. As 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We have a type of this in the Old Testament when Dave and his men ate the consecrated bread. In regard to this, Matthew 12 tells us of a time when Jesus and disciples were walking through a grain field on a Sabbath and ate some of the grain. The Pharisees saw them and questioned Jesus about the unlawful thing they did. Jesus reminded them of how David had entered the house of God and ate the consecrated showbread, which he was not permitted by law to do, yet he was blameless. Jesus then declared that something greater than the temple was there. He was referring to himself, and he was the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, David, because of his intimate relationship with God, reached beyond the law and laid hold of the Lord of the law himself. He moved in a higher realm in the Spirit. There is a bread for the children of God of which we have not been privileged to partake until now because we have not yet crossed over into that crucified life for ourselves. We have been operating in the mercy and the grace of him who went in before us once and for all as the great high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Once ye are crucified and have truly crossed over into the Holy of Holies, the place where Jesus is, the only thing there that is, where Christ is not only preached as crucified, but where the believer himself is living, a living example of the sanctified life. You have come to a place where you may never be sick, crippled, or diseased again, where demons cannot oppress, torment, or tempt, where material things are irrelevant because these things have nothing to do with the dead man. Moreover, the blessings of God will be in pursuit of them. Jesus is the pattern. His crucified life becomes your life, and your life becomes his. The Holy Spirit gave gifts and ministers of tools to equip the saints for the work of service to the end of becoming like him. We are fast approaching the end and the perfecting of the saints, those who are willing to go through the cross in Christ. Amen. So I thought I'd just share a little bit of living the crucified life and just some ideas. I added some scriptures in there and it's about, you know, just what we've been sharing tonight is just, you know, what Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I think that's when we get dead to the flesh and delivered and, you know, family curses broke free, like Famika was sharing and that. I mean, we start manifesting Christ. We start manifesting that love, joy, peace, and we start letting go of the world. Everything that used to be important is no longer important. things that used to make you happy. It's like, what's it all about? It's about Christ, and everything changes. Your perspectives change. You're just running after the Lord. You don't care what people think. All you care about is what the Lord thinks, and you're willing to get up at 4:30 in the morning if the Lord wakes you up, and just fellowship with Him. See where He takes you that day. See where He takes you in the Word. See what revelation He opens up, and just being quiet with Him and fellowshipping and praying and talking that's an awesome life. And the world would think that we're nuts. It's being dead to self, dead to what you think is important, and alive unto the Lord, and walking in the Spirit and living in the kingdom. And it's just, that's an awesome life. But first we must die. So amen. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on anything I shared, or anything that is in your heart you'd like to bring forth before we close out tonight? Is that Joe? Yeah, you're breaking up kind of bad. Why don't you try again? Yeah, Joe, you're barely coming through. I don't know if you just have a bad. Let's just pray. Father, right now, we just ask you just open up that internet connection, whatever's going on, and we just call it to be healed in Jesus' name. All right, Thank Joe.
Can I try again now?
Ah, he feeled it. Amen.
Thank you, Father. I was just thinking about this book of life, the phrase in the Bible, the book of life. And I was just thinking about it. Is it a personal book or a book with God? Because God knows everything. It doesn't have to show him who's in the book of life. So I did a search on the Esort, on the phrase book of life. And it picks it up 8 times. What's neat about it is only a couple of times he says a book of life of a lamb and the lamb's book of life. I thought that was pretty neat. It says your life or Christ's life in you. It's not that you have a book, it's your life in him. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Hey, Tim, can you hear Joe? Tim, you're muted. I'm in, Tim.
Sorry about that. I was talking away there, Michael.
I figured you were.
No, I heard him, and then so we just hey Joe.
Yeah, Tim.
Okay. It's healed. Amen. So you saw it as the Lamb's Book of Life, which is Christ's Book of Life, which is the Book of Life.
Yeah.
For us, life, the ones that manifest Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. I never saw that. So I'll have to take a look at that.
Just the last thing. On Revelation 20:12, we also talk about standing before the throne and books were opened. And another book. That tells me that's two kind of books. One is in Christ, other is in the world. That was pretty neat for me.
That's the word of God.
Yeah, that's good.
That's all I want to say. Thank you very much. Eh?
Okay. Thank you, guys. You've been a blessing.
Thank you.
That's dedication to get up at 3 in the morning to come join us. I think that's awesome.
That's awesome.
What makes it worthwhile, it's all the people, and especially you and Michael, and now again Michael Montana. Is he quiet today?
Yeah, he had business to do. He's not on tonight, so he had something to do at home. So he's not with us this evening, but I'm sure he'll be back next week. Amen. So.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Bless you, Nora.
Bye.
All right. Anybody else?
Before we get out of here, I need to pray for my knee. I don't know. I woke up the other day and it was paining me. And it seems to be swelling up on me. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I command this knee to quit. I command the pain to go in Jesus' name. I command the swelling to cease and go back to normal in Jesus' name. And I command this knee to be normal right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your healing power on my knee in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I agree with Michael. I command that swelling to go down in the name of Jesus. We just thank you that that knee is totally restored in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tim, I couldn't understand the fellow from Africa. What was he saying about the books?
Well, Esword, the Book of Life, and he said that there was 8 listings, and I believe he said that it was the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life of the Lamb, and he was saying, you know, he was seeing that that is, you know, the Book of Life. It's basically the, you know, the Christ in us is what gets into the book. You know, the manifesting of Christ in us. Because it does say, you know, no one descends into heaven, that he that descends out of heaven. So it's got to be Christ. Mm-hmm. So he's just saying that the Book of Life, you know, the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's Christ. And then he said that the book that was opened on the judgment seat is another book. He saw it as 2 books. And, you know, he thought that, you know, that was the Book of Judgment or the Book of the world, the people of the world.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, all right. Anybody else need prayer? Any last things before we close out tonight? Well, then let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you for just another awesome time of fellowship. We just thank you that we can be in one accord, that we can share with each other what you're doing in our lives and pray with each other. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that we have this time that we can come together and just be around like believers that are, you know, running after the Lord and dying to self and living the crucified life and just wanting just more of you and less of the world. And we just thank you for just bringing us together. We thank you for this time that people give up just to come together in fellowship. And we just thank you for just all that you're doing in everybody's life. We just ask you to just bless them, continue to, you know, just open their eyes to your truth. Give them a hunger for your word. Continue to just work in them to set them apart from their flesh and from the world and show them as far as just anything that's in them, anything that is unpleasing to you so they can get free from that, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that you are our deliverer, you are our healer, you are our provider, and we just thank you for just how awesome you are in our lives. And Father, we ask you just bless everybody this week, just guide them, direct them, teach them to walk in the Spirit, to be led of you and not of their flesh, and to not be to see in the Spirit, not go by what they see. We see with their carnal eyes, but to be led of what they see in the Spirit, Lord, and help people to separate just the spirit and flesh and people, and just see people as just, you know, vessels, and to have you know, just pity and mercy on them, and to just to have the just the heart to pray and believe for the lost, you know, ones that they meet and their families. And we just thank you for just putting compassion into us, putting love into us, and allow us to walk as Christ walked in just agape love. And we thank you for that. I just ask you just bless everybody this week. Just, you know, just bless their time and just give them time for your word. Just give them, you know, open them up to your gifts, Lord. Just give them dreams and visions and discernment, Lord, and discerning of spirits, and just guide them in their walk, and help them to stay on that narrow path and keep their eyes on you and not get distracted, you know, looking back at, you know, where they came or looking side to side, but just keeping their eyes fixed on you. And we just thank you for that. Bless them this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was another awesome night. Good night, everybody. I love you, and we'll see you next week.